I'd like to welcome everybody here. We'll continue our class on healing. We're going to, I was thinking, since we're running a little behind of going past four, maybe clear till six, can most people stay till six? Okay, would you like to do that? Well, we'll play it by ear and just see how it goes there. But to get the regressions and meditations and everything, and we want to do it, we might have to go over a little bit. I'm sure Natalie might complain, but just joking. Okay, as you know, I like to concentrate on principles, so let me review several basic principles governing healing and disease. The worst part about any type of disease is the discomfort and the pain, right? We don't want that. Matter of fact, disease wouldn't be so bad if you weren't discomforted or didn't have disease or didn't have pain. You know, when Susan broke her ankle, if she didn't have any pain, it would have been a lot easier. But, you know, the old body was saying, hey, this, you shouldn't put weight on this, so I'm giving you pain. So you're going to, this will force you to be very careful. Oh, now the party has started. So as you were entering the room, Susan and James, we were talking about pain. Just joke. So the worst part about disease is there's pain and discomfort goes along with it. Yeah, if we were like experiencing some type of high and we were sick, and we were high and felt great till we died, it wouldn't be so bad even if we were sick, would it? But what causes pain? And I've taught this before. Can anyone remember what the answer is?
It's when your soul is trying to get you to do something that you're resisting. If you resist it, your soul gets more and more pressure until it becomes physical ailment. Try to get your...
Right. Pain is caused by resistance to soul energy. The soul knows exactly what to do to make your life joyous and abundant and perfect. It knows what to do. And it's sending you the coded instructions to do these things. And when we resist, some type of pain occurs. Now, this even follows through with accidents to some degree. Now, some accidents are by design because of karma, and others just kind of happen because of circumstances of our life. And DK said a very interesting thing about accidents. He said there are explosions of force. And I can't think of a better example of an explosion of force than Sue's description of her accident. There she was. She was having all these complications with betrayal, with her company, demands on her that she felt under extreme pressure, and she felt discombobulated, and then all of a sudden she walks down these steps and falls through a hole of some kind, right? And it was like an explosion of force. Doesn't that kind of describe what happened to you? I mean, there you were in the middle of handling all these energies, and boom. And that's often, if you reflect back of when things happen, when you maybe had a car accident or a physical accident, is often you had a lot of things going on. And part of that is logical in the fact that when you have a lot of things going on, you're not paying enough attention. And sometimes it happens in my life, and I feel like, you know, I feel like I may be heading for an accident. I'm somewhat accident prone enough as it is. And I kind of stop and say to my subconscious, I say, you do not need to have an accident. You do not have anything that you need to learn here. And that seems to work when I stop and say that, you know. But sometimes I just feel the convergence of forces coming, and I have to be really careful now, you know.
Or you can just say, I'm getting out of the way.
I'm talking to my soul. I sometimes say, you know, if I'm asking for something, I'll say, but I don't want to do it, have to do it because you forced me into it by a crisis or pain.
Yeah, right. I want to do it my own free will, my own way. One time when I was on my mission, we were a bunch of us missionaries were in a van traveling to another city, and I had this weird feeling that we were going to have an accident. And so I told the district leader, I says, man, I got this feeling we're going to have an accident. Everybody got really concerned, and I says, what shall we do? I says, well, if we are, you know, I bet if we stop and just sit here for 15 minutes and then continue, whatever was going to happen won't happen. Everybody thought that was a good idea. So we just stopped there for 15 minutes, and then we drove on, and then I felt a lot better personally. There's no way to prove whether or not we would have had an accident. But I felt a relief after we did that, you know. So who knows? But the resistance to soul energy causes all the distress in our life. And so if we want to get healed permanently, what happens? What do? We reestablish that connection and that flow. Now, one thing it doesn't say in the Bible is what happened later on to everybody that Jesus healed. Do you think they all stayed healed?
No, because he said it was by their faith that they were healed, not his power.
Nine of the lepers apparently weren't, because only one came back and said thank you.
Yeah, one came back, said thank you. Maybe that was a lesson they were supposed to learn. Maybe they were not very grateful for what they had. Maybe they just felt, boy, I got a bum rap on life. God has it out for me. And Jesus heals the 10 lepers. One comes back, and Jesus indicated that this guy was going to be permanently healed. The others, not so much. So these 9 lepers didn't learn whatever it was they were supposed to learn. This is often the case. So let's say this. Maybe Susan was supposed to learn something by her accident. Maybe it was to teach her, hey, when all these forces are coming against you, you just don't get discombobulated and not pay attention. You need to learn to focus and be the calm in the midst of the storm, no matter what is going on.
I actually had 3 healers separately tell me what was going on.
Oh, yeah?
That I was taking too much onto myself and I needed to learn to delegate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 3 different healers told me. Same thing.
So now you can't do anything. You've got to have help.
That's right. So I can't do anything without help.
So Susan, didn't you already feel that? Didn't you already know that?
I was feeling overwhelmed and alone, and that nobody was going to do it unless I did it.
Okay. So you
needed it. Yeah, I needed it.
Yeah, sometimes forces just converge on you. Like, I know when I'm under a lot of pressure, I don't think nearly as spontaneously or creatively or clearly, and I think most people are that way. And so when you feel yourself in that situation, you just need to, you know, still yourself, connect with the source. One of my favorite quotations is this: no matter what happens, act as though nothing has happened. And I love that quote. No matter what happens, act as though nothing has happened. You know.
One thing that I've learned in delegation is, and I know exactly what you're talking about, if I don't do it, it's not going to happen. But you still have to delegate and let those people fail, you know, as much as it pains you. And that's hard,
yeah.
That's hard for me to do, because I'm the type of guy, get out of my way, I'll take care of this, you know.
It's
right.
It's not micromanaging, but macromanaging your life. You come out heck of a lot.
And so it's taken me a whole lifetime to learn, okay, I'm just going to let them do it, and if they fail, they fail. That's just...
Yeah.
Because they'll learn from their consequences eventually, hopefully.
That's kind of where the second key of judgment comes in, because sometimes you have to take matters in your own hands, and then sometimes you got to let go and delegate. There's really no black and white, but you can't be all one way. You can't be all one way. Oh, I guess I'll just have to do it myself, type thing. You know, that's. But you got to delegate as much as possible, but then there's once in a while that maybe only you can do a certain thing, and then you just got to do it.
So that's like people who won't let people help them carry their stuff into the car.
Only had one box.